Hi, friends. My name is Caitlin Eastler, and this is the Happy at Work podcast, nurturing business success through workplace connection and well-being. Join me on this journey as we applaud the forward-thinking people leaders who deeply understand the value and connection between investing in purposeful, people-first cultures and attaining positive business outcomes. By day, I'm the founder and CEO of Happily and mom to Hannah, which is the best job ever. And I've recently taken on the added role of head of culture and software, talent advisory at DSG. Together, we collaborate with people leaders nationwide who are doing amazing things in the new world of work. Happy at Work gives us an opportunity and the extreme pleasure of highlighting this important work, the work of those that are deeply committed to their roles as innovators, passionate leaders, and guardians in creating and protecting exceptional cultures. From championing learning and development to prioritizing employee mental and physical health, social impact, and overall workplace well-being, these leaders make a difference. Stay tuned to hear the lessons learned from these exceptional humans. Thank you for joining us on this journey. We are so glad you're here. Welcome, friends. I'm so grateful to be here today with Bill Blackford. Bill and I have known each other for a long time, and it's fun to kind of grow up in this world together. He's always been somebody I've admired. He sits today leading global talent acquisition and people operations for Ellucian. Ellucian is a private equity-backed, incredible technology company in the higher education space, one of the biggest and most impactful. In my years in executive search, I got to work with Ellucian, and just I'm blown away by the culture and all things there. So grateful to Bill for sharing time and his lessons learned. And I promise you're going to walk out of here learning so many fun things that you can take home to your organization. So thanks for being here, Bill.
Caitlin, thanks for having me, and looking forward to an awesome session. And it is, it's crazy to think on how far back we go. It is like probably close to like 15 years, which is wild. So it's awesome how things have come full circle.
So grateful for the continued friendship and learnings together. So I know you're responsible for everything from making sure that the job specs are perfect and align with your values to hiring the right people to onboarding, and then have seen an amazing evolution in terms of your role and how you partner with L&D and how impactful that's been. So just for our audience, we're going to get to that. But I want to start with values, because recently you shared that you guys have just gone through and done a whole revamp of your values by taking feedback from your organization, and that ultimately all of this incredible work you and your team are doing is led by these values. So can you tell us a little bit about that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to jump in on that. And values, as you know, and it's from our, numerous past conversations on this, is super important, right? Like, it's the foundation for everything you build off of within the organization, not just from like a talent or recruiting standpoint, but how your organization operates, right? For me, it is, when no one's looking, how do you show up, right? And it's really the soul or the guiding conscience of your organization. So, which is why it's super important to have a really strong, solidified value space, but that's also then that's real and authentic, and that all the employees can really resonate to, and it's not just words on a page. In terms of our recent values relaunch, this has been a conscious effort probably over the last like 2 years, year and a half. And full disclosure, this is not something that I led, so full right of ownership here. Our L&D team was the driving force on this, but in strong partnership across our whole people team COE, and then most importantly within the organization. And when we went through, we took the approach of wanting to be very mindful and deliberate with not operating in a silo, not operating in a box, and just, I think sometimes you can run into challenges when you are not engaging with the business and really not capturing the authentic voice of your employees. So we got to probably almost over a third of our employees through various means and focus groups and how we brought our employees in. And then we've landed, which what I like to think is awesome values that are reflective of who we are as an organization. We talk about our values as being light. Part of Ellucian's name is bringing knowledge to light, and we can talk about that in a little bit, just in terms of who we are and what we do. And at the core of why we exist is to empower student success, and we are a super mission-based organization. So it was really important to land on values, as I said, that resonate and are real with us. And we're still currently on this journey in terms of how are we activating across the organization and where are the high leverage points where we want to continue to reinforce it. But at its core, it's really the guiding light for how we operate, how we look at who we bring in for talent, how do we want to engage and develop talent to cut across the whole employee lifecycle.
Great. And remind me, what does LIGHT stand for? What are those values?
That is a great question, Caitlin. So we have five values, as we said, and with our LIGHT acronym, they represent lead, innovate, grow, humanize, and transform. So again, all values and behaviors, I think it's more important like behaviors that you know we expect within the organization from all employees, regardless of level, regardless of tenure. But these are, you know, the five key behaviors that, you know, we look for and we expect across the organization. And I think
it's
ultimately, and sorry too, I think one thing just to add on that is at its core, right, is the impact that we drive as an organization. And it's when you go back to the values, that's how you act and show up to ultimately drive the impact that you're looking to realize. And as we talked about with just being a really mission-based organization for Lucy, I feel really fortunate to be here because candidly, in some ways, it's much easier doing this at an organization that is so mission-focused. You know, we genuinely, like when I talk to candidates all the time about this, that we operate with such a genuine sense of purpose because the work we do really matters. You know, we are driving massive global societal impact. Our technology touches more than 22 million students each and every day. That's awesome. And that's at scale. And you're really changing lives. So, and it's funny, like when I've been at Lucene for 6.5 years. And when I initially got here, you know, I remember during the interview process, people were talking to me about the culture and the environment. And I was like, is this just like the purple Kool-Aid? Like, is this what every, you know, like everybody says this, you know,
right.
And that's what you hear
yeah.
during the hiring process. But you know, I feel really fortunate that it really shows up and really manifests, and that's who we are. We have people with our organization that have dedicated their lives and careers to education. Like, it's really inspiring just to see the genuine commitment, which is awesome. But again, I think purpose-driven environments and organizations naturally lend themselves to collaborative environments because it's that whole idea that if you have an idea or if there's a way that you can help propel the mission forward, then we want to hear about that. So when rolling out something like a values-based approach, there is definitely an openness for that, you know, across the business, which makes our jobs easier to do that. So just to caveat that too, like I just feel fortunate to be with an organization that just authentically lives it every day.
Well, and you're an incredible person, right? Like good attracts good. And I think so it makes a lot of sense to me why you're there and you're in that incredible leadership role. Earlier when we were prepping, we talked about how, you know, you want to anchor everything in these behaviors, right? That the values highlight and that's promote, elevate, and celebrate. And I'm curious, what are some of the more tactical things that you're seeing as you guys are thinking through values activation and constantly, I think, in a state of continuous improvement? What are you doing to make sure that that is seen and showing up?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. Because at the end of the day, you know, ideas are easy. It's the execution that's the most important part. And when it comes down to that, it is the little details. I can give you some micro and macro things on that. I think that there are some aspects with like in activations. And as I said, we are in the midst of going through, like continuing to go through the activations in a really organic manner. They can manifest itself as simply as, you know, during the offer onboarding process and how you're setting the expectations. And even back up even further at the start when recruiters are talking to candidates and talking about Ellucian and what's it like working there. And you know, a lot of our talk tracks and how we want to position Ellucian in a way is centered around that. Could also just be with like our offer letters. We update our offer letter templates, our onboarding, when people are getting emails of welcome to Ellucian, it's the values are right there. Like we have light, like we've been fortunate that we have an awesome marketing and creative team that, you know, really built some awesome collateral to help activate so we can incorporate some really cool imagery into that. Another thing, like Caitlin, you and I, like obviously we're not on video right now, Zoom backgrounds, right? Like you've seen mine. We have that like across the organization, which is awesome. Like, you know, I always have my background, like my go-to Zoom background is humanize, right? When we talk about humanize, we're talking about like championing our differences for a more equitable and global community. When I think about like my role and where I sit and what we do, like everything's rooted on that, you know. But it's awesome being on Zoom meetings, and not everybody, like people can put up whatever they want, right? But you have so many people that, you know, because we push this through the organization and they're putting up their values. So that's one little thing. So I think on a more macro side, when you talk about how do you scale and how does it go across the organization, like hiring, think about hiring. You know, we're literally in the midst of this activation process right now. So you're actually getting us like literally real time when we're doing this. But we prescribe to, you know, performance-based hiring model. You know, we're really focused on getting with the hiring stakeholders, obviously right up front at the kickoff meeting, really defining what are the key outcomes that they're looking to drive in that new hire. And then instead of looking at search as, okay, I need 4 years of this and 3 years of that. And, you know, I've said previously, you know, this is not a restaurant. It's not like an a la carte menu. You know, we really want to be focused on what are those key skills, traits, and competencies that somebody should embody to ultimately drive those performance expectations. And so part of that with values activation is now having some real clear line of sight on those competencies, right? So for each of those five values, we're going to have about 4 to 5 supporting competencies with each one that then the hiring teams and can select from of saying, okay, so for lead, I'm going to pick this competency. Cool. And then we'll bake that into the overall process, sign our focus areas. And then at the end of the day, it's a way to ensure that for what we're looking to bring into the organization, that's manifesting and pulling through. You know, something that drives me nuts, and you and I have obviously lots of several contacts in the space, and you've heard like, you know, Lars Schmidt talk all the time about how like culture fit's bullshit and you shouldn't be. And I totally agree with that. And he's been such a proponent of that over the years. And I couldn't agree with that more. And because people use that as a crutch in a way of like, why isn't somebody a fit? It's like, they're not a culture fit. It's like, That's BS. What does that mean? Culture is important. Culture is super important. It's not minimizing that, but it's just clearly defining what is it? What are those expectations for your organization? Because every organization is going to have different dynamics that they're going to prioritize, but then really being focused on calling it out, having a crystallized focus, and then evaluating towards that. So again, it's not minimizing culture. It's so important. But it's the way that you can do it in a more structured approach to that you have focus, you can fairly evaluate, it's going to promote more equitable and fair hiring practices. And at the end of the day, teams are going to have more clarity on what it is that they're looking for instead of just relying on this crutch of like, I didn't like them because they're not a team fit. I'm like, you know, we all can do better than that.
Right. No, I mean, I think being specific and actually wrapping parameters around what culture fit means is really important because, I mean, I'm a big fan of culture fit, but it's not like, you know, it's not about where you went to college or if you wanted to be best friends. It's about really specific things, I think, that tie to values. And I think that's where we need to continue to move that analysis of culture fit too.
Yes, 100%. Again, yeah, culture is super, super important. It's just not relying on a generic term, right? Just giving it some strong definition and focus.
It's interesting. One of the things I've been doing a lot of work on recently is just thinking through how culture doesn't happen by accident. And I think that's always been true and companies have needed to be thoughtful. But when everybody was showing up to an office all the time, it was easier to manage culture and to spot issues. But in a remote world, culture really has to be thoughtful and purposeful. What are some of the things you're doing in onboarding, kind of post that amazing requisition and making sure people meet the competencies and have a great experience to get them into the onboarding process and making sure that they know how to connect? It's not a guessing game for people, whether they're in the office or they're sitting, you know, anywhere, they're going to have a really great experience.
Yeah, no, 100%. Actually, before even answering that, just one thing to go back to with the values is something that I'd just be remiss not to pull through is when you think about also bringing the values to light, and I'm just not going back to our acronym on light there, but to really bring it forward.
I love it.
Yeah, but it's also from like a performance management standpoint though too. And that's also how we're looking at it too. Because when you think like, it's especially on the TA side, your teams get so focused on just bringing in a talent, which is awesome. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is what are you doing to encourage, enable, develop, engage that talent base? So that's the other way. I'd just be remiss for not calling that out because that has to pull through, you know? So I think it's the other thing of having the focus on the values. And then how does that actually then manifest itself when you're thinking about performance management, when you're thinking about learning pathways, when you're thinking about development? So that's just another thread that has to pull through there. I think to your question, which is a really, really valid question, especially over the last few years. Listen, we were really fortunate that we, like being a tech company, and I like to think being, you know, on the forward leaning side of things, you know, when everything flipped to remote for, you know, that time period, you know, we already had like 60% of our organization almost being remote in nature, just in terms of the type of work that we do, whether client facing or if they're on site or a customer site, whatever the case is. But over the last few years, we're obviously having to adapt. On the onboarding side, last year, we intentionally, and this is one of the reasons why we did, is as we are even continuing to move to just obviously like a hybrid environment of what we are in right now, of rethinking our onboarding process. And so last year, like a couple of things that we did, and this is in super strong partnership with our learning and development team. And we can talk about that in a little bit if you want, but they've honestly become my biggest partner over the last couple of years. And we can talk about the reasons why if you like. But in terms of what we've done specifically for onboarding is we scrapped the whole onboarding and pretty much like started new and was like, okay, what's going to be most important, especially for employees that, you know, they're located all over the place. You have a lot of heavy remote. We recognize that onboarding should be looked at as more than just like some one-time event where it's not like, okay, you come in and then set them out to sale and be like, good luck. You know, like that's not what we're trying to do. So we had a couple other things. We revamped our initial people team orientation when they came in, tried to make it like fun, engaging. What's the most impactful levers on how they can get ingrained into the culture and really being super transparent with, we pride ourselves honestly on our culture, right? You know, we always talk about we win with our culture. We've done a lot of awesome work over the last few years, especially within like the DEI space. We hired a global head of diversity, equity, and inclusion, who is a fantastic partner of mine, works super closely with her. She's awesome. And our ERGs have just been thriving. We have 11 ERGs right now. So, that's a case in point of letting people know from day one, hey, this is the community that we have, and these are what they represent, why we have them, and encouraging people from literally day one of this is how you can get involved, and this is what we encourage. Because I think it's important for people to know literally from at the onset of what some of those expectations are. And when we talk about how we want to support people and provide the space for people to be the best versions of themselves, both inside and outside the office, you need to lend what are those support resources. So obviously we'll go through some of the brass tacks of like, okay, this is how you're getting set up, and you have your separate like IT orientation. Our people team orientation, though, that's where we kind of made the shift, was it's like, what are the most important things for our culture that they need to know on how to operate within the business? Little things like Slack, right? Okay, so we're a Slack culture. Okay, what are the channels? What are the most important? Where can you go find people? Where can you go find information? And I think it's that enablement factor that you need to hit on like immediately. We also built what we call like Welcome Week, which happens a few weeks after. So it happens it's the last week of every month. Just from like, if you want to talk about like the details, right? The challenge was, okay, how can we roll out something? But we have people starting every week, you know, so it's trying to figure out that like we'll do the people team orientation every week. But then when we have Welcome Week, we run it the last week of every month. It's just a few days. It's like an hour and a half, and it's a couple of sessions on that last week. We didn't want to like have folks come in and then you're burning them with like two full days. So it's kind of these quick hits where they can come in, and Welcome Week is a much deeper dive in terms of our products and services. Gives them transparency in terms of how the business works and runs, right? Like, I think it's important from something I think we do really well is from an enablement standpoint with educating our employees about how the holistic business operates. I like to think we do a really good job of that. So everyone has an understanding of this is my role, but then this is how it plays into the broader picture of how we operate and who are our customers and what are the products that we're building and what's the impact that they're making to our customers. And then we also give a deeper dive in terms of some of the cultural aspects that we have. So those are some of the themes that we have. So, you know, to button it up, it was basically revamping our people team orientation, really being focused on culture and the highest level impacts that they can come in from Go, and then having this welcome week, which is like, could be a few weeks, no more than 3 weeks after somebody starts. Sometimes it could be in somebody's first or second week. That just gives a deeper dive in terms of the business, but in those like bite-sized learnings.
I think what's so wonderful about that too is by having these cohorts, people, they meet their colleagues, they make some new friends, they feel a level of warmth that maybe they would have gotten in the olden days in an office, right? So they have some people that are familiar faces, and in being in a group, I think really matters. I also think that sometimes, especially when senior people come in, sometimes we just want them to start working and we forget how important these foundational elements of education are to making sure that people can do a great job and represent the company in the best way and really be set up for success. And that's so important, but never to be taken for granted. I think it sounds simple, but it's really not. It takes a lot of thought and work to make that happen.
No, it does. And especially when you're talking about like global organization as well. You know, I think that's the other thing. So we're really mindful of that, of when we run these sessions and how we can offer them and making sure that it's just not catering towards the benefits of people that sit on the East Coast in the US, for instance. That is something I'd like to think we've been far more mindful and intentional on over the last couple of years in particular, of as we've been growing and as we've been growing globally, that, you know, and maturing and operating as a global organization, that I think it's a good expectation set for all employees coming in that we're this highly matrix global organization, which is great. That's one of the great benefits of working here, because that any given day you're interfacing with people from all around the world, which is makes it just such a rich, diverse environment, which is great. But I think it's also being of calling out and people realizing you have people from all these different time zones and trying to be as flexible on our end to cater towards that.
Yeah. And being like, okay, in a Slack culture, right? When you're in a Slack culture, sometimes you think, okay, I have to be available 24/7. But being in a, especially in a global Slack culture, saying it out loud, you know, that you're not expected to answer messages at all hours of, you know, the night, that like, this is how we operate asynchronously. And this is a mechanism that allows us to communicate effectively. And it's not always going to be an immediate response.
Yep. No, 100%. And that all starts out with leadership, though. You know, like at the end of the day, like it starts of, you know, what's the expectations being set? How are your leaders talking about it? How are they showing up transparently and communicative? And how are they modeling that? And I think that the modeling piece is probably the most important. And again, we're fortunate that we have a really strong executive leadership team that like we talk about this. Like, we talk about wellness. We talk about mental health. We talk about people taking time out of their day and go for a walk, right? Like our chief people officer, who's awesome, he has a weekly message that goes out through our, you know, essentially weekly newsletter of sorts that goes out. But it's a video message every week. And it's great. And it's a lot of times there's just been messages of take a break, go take a walk, get outside, you know, and reinforcing that. But hearing that from leaders that are at the top of the organization and setting that tone and expectation is super important. You know, we have Zoom out Wednesdays where, you know, from your Wednesday morning, you know, the practice is to not schedule meetings during that time. So people can just have a minute to not be on a Zoom call and can have the space to focus on just getting whatever they need to be done. But again, I think it just goes back to that transparency and continuing to talk about what's important. And we've just been really lucky to have leaders that talk about it and then have programs in place to support it from an overall wellness standpoint.
I love it. So just to double tap a little bit more on the onboarding process and this welcome week and also your people operations onboarding week, how is leadership involved in that and supporting it? And how do you make that partnership work really well? Because I think a lot of, in some organizations and some people that might be listening, might be in an organization where, you know, their business is so focused on the business or the leadership team that they're, you know, they think that onboarding and these things just happen, that HR should do it or people operations should do it. So how have you like made that partnership successful?
Yeah, no, it's all about, you go back to communication and explaining the why. You know, we've on our, the people team orientation, it's various speakers, but across the people team, just on that like day one. But for the welcome week, that's, we have business leaders come in towards that when they're talking about our products or, you know, aspects of how the business is run, we're having them come in. And I think from my perspective, you know, the beneficial thing is just explaining the why of why it's more impactful for having them come in and why it's important. At the end of the day, you know, companies are only as strong as the people they stand on. And, you know, I feel like it wasn't a big sell that we had to do within our organization. You know, I think you had leaders more than willing to jump in, because I think it's, you know, understanding at the end of the day, we're trying to equip our employees to set them up for long-term success. Like, if you're looking at it through the business lens, they have vested interest because they want to make sure that, you know, who we bring on board comes in and has the foundation to launch and then get acclimated, learn, absorb the information. And then how can we do that in the most effective and efficient manner, so then people can start coming in and really making an impact and driving the results that we hired them to do. But for people to do that, they need to have that enablement. And it's just having that conversation. But again, for us, I feel like the leaders get that here, which is great, you know. I think this is the other thing too that's super important. There isn't like a silver bullet. Like, it's not one person that's doing it. You know what I'm saying? It is a theme, and it's thematic over the years on how the organization continues to build and grow. And when you have the set values and foundation and what's important, you are then continuing to nurture that. And then that's when you start getting kind of that force multiplying effect. And then you're moving in an aligned direction. And it's not on any just one. Like, if I think about, you know, our team, my team's not able to do our job without the partnership across our people team, without the partnership within the business, and it all connects. And similarly, you know, the business isn't able to execute on its goals without the partnership from my team. So it cuts both ways, you know? And I think the most important thing is just that continued like collaboration and recognizing that we're all playing a really significant part to propelling the mission forward.
Yeah. And I think what I've heard consistently as we've spoken, you know, today and over the years, is you just have so much respect and appreciation for the partnership and how the puzzle comes together. I mean, if you called out your global head of DEI and Kirsten and the work she's doing with ESG and CSR, and, you know, your chief people officer, and the way you talk about your team, I think that's just indicative of the culture that Ellucian is. It's a place where people respect and appreciate each other. And that shines through in all things you guys are doing.
Yeah, no. And I appreciate you saying that. And it's totally true. And like, when you think about even across our comp and L&D and HRBP team, like, everybody plays a part, because at the end of the day, what we're building is a holistic experience. And it's not just us, it's the whole business, right? And that fuels the value proposition. You know, you mentioned, you know, Kirsten with their ESG, who's our head of ESG. She's phenomenal. And the work that we're doing on that side of the house, and, you know, community give backs, and what we're, you know, one of our benefits is 40 hours, you know, we offer 40 hours of volunteer time. That's just like one small example. We have scholarships and the Pest Scholarship Foundation, which provides resources to financially distressed students. And it's these things which are so impactful. And then when you have prospective talent or employees within the organization, that's like, you're backing up your talk. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to be here and we want to, you know, meaningfully contribute to our communities. But it's another thing to go do that. We need somebody to really spearhead initiatives like that. And we're fortunate to have an awesome ESG team, right? And that, for me, that comes back, because from the talent acquisition lifecycle, when prospective talent is looking at the organization, they see, hey, we're genuinely committed to X, Y, and Z, and we're doing this. People want to align themselves with organizations like that, and people want to stay at organizations like that. So it's super impactful to again, helping propel our mission forward.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it's values in action in its best way. And, you know, we've talked, Kirsten, earlier about like this idea of, you know, people don't want to go to, generally, or maybe more than ever, they don't want to go to a happy hour or whatever to meet up, and how you guys are using opportunities to have people volunteer together as a mechanism for connection, right? Like, there's really beautiful ways that you're bringing your values to life. So I love it. One point we might have to like bring you back and do a double tap on this like partnership with L&D, because I think there's a lot more there. So I know our community will have gotten a lot out of today and what you shared, but it's a lot that you guys have done, and so beautiful how that partnership has played out and really helped everybody be successful.
No, it's been awesome. I think that, and you're right, because it wouldn't be doing justice to that partnership. I'll just say this. Over the last 2 years, like if you ask me, like, what are some of the biggest changes over the last couple of years that I've seen, one of which for me would be the rise of the partnership between like TA and L&D, because it's looking at like the holistic end-to-end like talent management and talent lifecycle. And I think for anyone out there listening, especially if it's on the TA side, we need to be pulling our heads up, and it's not just about filling recs and putting butts in the seat. And I know that's not like some novel concept, but when we really talk about that, the most important thing is to stay, not to get. And the get's super important, but I feel like organizations sometimes put such a premium focus on, okay, what are we doing to get the talent? But it's the companies that are winning now are the ones that are then, how are we holding on to the talent? How are we engaging? How are we developing? And we, and L&D has become such a really critical partner, because that's fueling that overall development. When we bring talent in, okay, what are we doing with them? How are we setting up the enablement and pathways for people to like learn and grow and develop? And that then comes back to fueling our overall value proposition. We've had boot camps that have been built out, and that's just one small example. And that's enabled my team to go identify some talent that otherwise probably wouldn't have been able to look at a couple of years ago. And it's directly related to the awesome impact that the L&D team's having and how it connects to ours. So I think you're going to see more and more of kind of these worlds colliding in a way, in a really good way, because it is not just as important, it's even more important. What are you doing with the talent when they show up, and how are we doing to continue to cultivate and grow it?
Yeah, that's incredible. And one more thing I want to make sure we cover. I know we're getting tight on time, but this is an important one. But you talked about career mobility and how you've tried to change the mindset internally of what it means to make Ellucian more of a career destination, where people don't feel like they need to leave to do something different or to change it up. Will you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. And this is, I know this is a hot topic for a lot of organizations, and similarly, we've prioritized as such. And I can tell you, this is another thing that is an active work in progress. We rolled out a new program towards the end of last year in Q4. We branded it internally as Explore Ellucian. The overarching concept is managers and teams don't own talent. And there's this historical stigma, you have employees that are fearful sometimes to potentially, talk to their existing managers about looking at other opportunities, or you have managers and teams that aren't as supportive as they should be to really help and enable somebody to explore another opportunity within the organization, because it's built on this legacy mindset, right? There's no other way of saying it. It's just like this kind of archaic way of thinking of like, okay, you're in this role and this is what you should be. And now if you're, God forbid, you're looking at someone else, it's taken as a personal slight. And that's like so the wrong way of looking at it. the end of the day, we're trying to cultivate an environment of talent stewards, right? And your role as a leader within your organization is to help grow and develop that talent for that point of time that you have with them. But and at the end of the day, if you really just think of it conceptually, how, and I know you've been doing this for forever, right? So it makes zero sense if you have someone that's looking for a job and they think that they need to look outside first before looking internally. Like, that makes zero sense. But if you can create an environment of trust, right? And a really safe spot of hey, and having open and honest conversations, consistent conversations on, these are some areas I'm looking to get into, this is what I'd love to learn more about. And having managers and leaders actually then take that and help and say, either A, we have some opportunities within the organization. B, listen, we don't have anything right now. These are some of the gaps that, that we might need to close or we need to develop, but it can be more of a consistent conversation. So the long and the short of what we're trying to get to is we're trying to cultivate that environment where we can create a space for our employees to be curious and explore and try to just, it goes back to career paths are not linear anymore. It's not like come into this job and then just go to the next one after being there for 2 years. And again, organizations that I feel like do not adapt to this mentality and environment are going to be left behind significantly and very fast. The best organizations are the ones that are not just promoting it, but it becomes a fabric of their organization, and there's genuineness on support and realizing that this is what makes the organization stronger, because we want to keep our people, and then And not only do they have the institutional knowledge, but then you said something at the beginning of the call, which I just love. I'm going to paraphrase this because it's like positivity breeds positivity. It's like good goes to good, right? And that's the whole thing. Like if you can really get that momentum going, that's where you get that force multiplying effect. So that is something where we launched at the end of last year. But again, cultural paradigm shifts that you're driving. And unfortunately, we have a great culture and environment where, you know, there's high receptiveness to this, which is awesome, right? But then there's, just like anywhere else, there's lots of opportunities within the organization on how can we continue to just really and genuinely like embody that. But it's all a journey. I think that's the other thing too, like for people listening, it's not just like you snap your fingers and this stuff happens. You know, this is a continual reinforcement and continual re-education of this and then modeling the right behaviors. Like part of our, you know, one of the activation levers that we've pulled for an initiative like this is how are we celebrating these success stories throughout the organization? So now we have like a regular series where it's literally like every other week, we are either highlighting an employee that transferred or more importantly, managers who either let the employee go or receive the employee and highlighting their experiences and the whole mentality around that. And that's a small thing because what we're trying to do is create that culture and celebrating that and celebrate those talent exporters, celebrate those people who, hey, Caitlin's this kick-ass manager who in the last 2 years, she's had 4 people that have transferred to other departments. That's awesome. That should be celebrated as a win. Like that manager is developing employees and then launching them through the organization. That's a really good thing that should not be looked at negatively.
Absolutely. Are you guys doing the same thing in terms of values on doing values awards and celebrations?
Yes, that's part of like activations and stuff like that. And we have some like fun creative stuff like that that's actually going to be coming out with that. And then tying it to different means. And, you know, there's some cool video challenges and stuff like that that we're going to be having and stuff like that. So it'll be cool.
I mean, the work, all of these little things that I'm sure don't take a little bit of effort, but take a lot of effort. But they're the big things, right? All of these seeds that you're planting are working and they all tie back to your values, which I think is so critical. And I just love how it all ties together. So before I let you go, because you and I probably could go on for hours because I have so many more questions for you, what do you do to take care of yourself? And how do you stay well as a leader who I know who cares so much about people? I mean, we are so lucky to have a shared mentor in Holly Courtright, mentor and friend. And we've seen and learned from the way she takes great care of people, but also requires taking care of yourself. What do you do to arrive at work every day in the best place for you?
That's an awesome question, Caitlin. That's a really good question. So there's a lot of things. I think that how I can frame this in the most impactful way. This is something that historically I had not done a really good job with. When I say historically, like, you know, I think especially people early in their careers, you're just running so fast that you're not even thinking about stuff like this. I think during the pandemic was a forcing function for me, like probably many others, because it gives you that time to kind of pause and reflect. I realized during that time, like, I need to be doing a lot better with just my own like mental health and awareness. So I can like, for me specifically, I'm a big runner, but like, so really prioritizing time to get out and exercise and do that. I'm really big with my family. Like, I coach and I love spending time with my wife and kids. And I think probably the word I'd probably use is like being really intentional with how I'm spending my time and when I'm doing it. And something I've said to my team, right, is, you know, when you're setting that time, right, you know, case in point, like on Fridays, like actually right after this, I always block out my calendar at the end of on Fridays from like 2 to 5. And that's kind of my time to, you know, don't take meetings unless there's something like earth shattering. So I can kind of just kind of like, okay, get some stuff done, get organized, get ready for the week. Right. And being really, but that's an intentional step of like coaching my kids. Right. Like when I remember, God, my son's 12 now, but when he was like 6, I started coaching and I was like getting all stressed and I was like, God, how am I going to do this? And my wife was like, just do it. You've wanted to do this like your whole life. Like, just do this. And it was just blocking out my time. And that little thing, like, my calendar's insane. But being able to do that works, and being intentional and not canceling on myself. Like, I think that's what I tell my team a lot, is like, don't cancel on yourself, right? You have that time. And like, I'm not rescheduling meetings with like my boss or my CEO. Don't reschedule on yourself. If you have that time, mark it out. I think another thing that has been really impactful aside from that, but it goes back to the intentionality, is just knowing of being honest with myself and knowing what I need. Like even in the morning, like of just going out, like walking my dog. Like my wife loves it because it's like, okay, I'll do it in the morning. But like for me, I'm like, I need that walk, like right in the beginning of the morning. I have no, you know what I'm saying? Cause I know for me, like I need to clear my head. I need to just get in that rhythm. So it's just an awareness. I think the last thing I would just say is, I've been reading a lot in the last like 2 years. That was some good constructive feedback from my wife, which was really good. And I took it, but it was like, you got to kind of get off the screen all the time. As you know, it's like you're living in this like Zoom universe, and reading has been very therapeutic to kind of just wind down instead of just scrolling on your phone as you go off to sleep.
Our partners and our friends can be the best coaches, right? Where they're able to see us in our best and our worst. And that's beautiful that you guys have that partnership, that you can take that feedback and receive it with such love.
Yes, you know, it is. You know, it's the whole idea of feedback's a gift, and it's good. But I'm very fortunate to have an awesome partner.
Such a treat to share time with you. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with this community. And I know people are going to love it. So thank you.
Awesome. Caitlin, thank you so much. This was super fun.